to another episode of Blue Shift, the podcast from the Astrophysics Science Division at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. I'm Maggie Massetti. What image first comes to mind when you think of the Hubble Space Telescope? The great multicolored eye of the Helix Nebula? Or the vast dusty columns of the so-called Pillars of Creation? Maybe it's the ultra-deep field full of far-flung galaxies at the very limit of Hubble's vision. Francis Reddy takes us on a behind-the-scenes look at another famous Hubble image.
In January 2006, astronomers revealed a ginormous mosaic of the famous Orion Nebula from the Hubble Space Telescope. 3.5 years later, astronomers continue to mine that data. One result, a dramatic simulated fly-through of the nebula, will play on an IMAX screen near you in 2010. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The story begins in 2003, when Massimo Roberto at the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore decided a newly upgraded Hubble should tackle the Orion Nebula in a big way. What's so special about Orion?
It's one of the most important star-forming regions. So it's one of the places where we can more clearly understand how star formation goes. What makes Orion special in particular is the fact that in Orion we see the full range of stars. And the big stars play the major role because they emit a lot of ultraviolet light, and the ultraviolet light has a major influence on the circumstellar environment. The result of these big stars is that they are actually carving the nebula, the coal dust in which the other stars form. For all these reasons, Orion is the place to go for understanding star formation.
And what's so special about Hubble?
Hubble is needed in particular because the fact that there is this very bright background, which is the nebula itself, makes observations from the ground, from the Earth, especially hard because you get a lot of background light. So there are special reasons to see with the Hubble, not only because you see better, but also because you go fainter. It's always this combination of sensitivity and resolution that make the telescope unique. Orion is only 1 million years old. We have 2,000-3,000 young stars, more or less all of the same age. If you could make a census, things like that will tell us a lot of information about how star formation proceeds in Orion.
While previous Hubble observations had focused on the material that surrounded stars in the Orion Nebula, Roberto wanted to study the young stars themselves. So in 2003, he and a group of experts worked up a detailed plan to map the nebula over more than 200 Hubble orbits. Whether or not a proposal results in telescope time is determined by a panel that weighs the science case against the amount of time required. Only about 1 in 10 proposals wins.
So the proposal, I know, was highly ranked, but eventually they could not give us time because of its size, basically. The science was strong, but there were other projects in completely different areas that were also big. Also, it was at the time a much smaller proposal, but by another team, a competing team, that also targeted Orion in a much simpler way. We wanted everything they wanted, just one thing. So the panel said, well, for this cycle, 2003, we think we go with the small one. And you may know this is a very strong case, the one that you have. Maybe you want to apply again. But think about making things a little bit less fancy and reduce the size.
The original plan called for many images using short exposures so Hubble could capture bright stars without overexposing them. But this is a very inefficient way to use Hubble. It takes as much time to read image data for a 10-second image as it does for a much longer exposure. Besides, bright stars can be imaged almost as well using telescopes on the ground.
We accepted the sacrifice, so to say, but we killed 50% of the time, and the program then was much more targeted to the faint stuff that cannot be certainly done from the ground, no matter what you do, and was even stronger. So what I heard is that actually on the following year, when we proposed, the program was ranked the best in the hundreds that were proposed. As I said to my mother in Italy, I won the World Cup of astronomy, at least of Hubble astronomy.
Now the team has to work out all of the specific details of the observation. When will the telescope observe? With what filters? In what orientation?
And this requires really weeks of work with the software tools that here at the Space Telescope Science Institute, we squeezed our observations leaving 1 second of time unused per orbit.
And so, between October 2004 and April 2005, Hubble repeatedly turned to the Orion Nebula and captured data with 3 instruments. Only the images from the Advanced Camera for Surveys, or ACS, were included in the publicly released mosaic. What's it like when the images start arriving?
It's really something. you call your colleagues, your co-investigators, you start posting on your door. Basically, there is an army, a marching army of people that starts immediately working, reducing the data, cleaning, doing all the processing needed.
Every image from Hubble was actually black and white. The images for each filter were combined into individual mosaics and included ground-based data taken from Chile to fill out this square picture and include the bright stars. Finally, each of these mosaics was assigned a color and combined to create a final, glorious four-color image.
The nominal ACS image is 4,000 by 4,000 pixels, so it's a 16-megapixel image. In our case, only with ACS, we had 520 images. Then you start having really a gigabyte of space. The mosaic with ACS came out to be so large, about 30 by 30,000, which is one terapixel image, that we could not handle it with the machines that we had. So we needed to cut the mosaic in chunks, still pretty huge, 14 by 13,000 pixels.
A picture may be worth a thousand words, but it can provide years of science.
And this was presented at the AAS eventually, and was actually one of our first products of the proposal. But science comes from measuring each individual star and get mass, age, luminosity, the radius of the star, information on variability, mass accretion, and basically characterize the entire cluster of young stars on the basis of the best measured fundamental parameters of the stars. And this is what we are still doing. The final super catalog, as I call it, should come out in the fall. This is a data set that once it's published will still remain object of work in the years to come, because we will get more and more data in other filters for these sources. We will get more infrared data, for example, with JWST.
And next spring, you'll be able to take a flight through the data captured by Hubble at your neighborhood IMAX.
Here at the Institute, they are building the 3D model that will be rendered in an IMAX fly-through of the full nebula. And I've seen a demo. It's fantastic. It's really breathtaking. It's beautiful.
The proposal process sounds complicated and time-consuming. But astronomers who want to observe targets with other satellites or ground-based observatories go through it regularly. You can find more information on today's story, as well as some links, at our website, universe.nasa.gov/blueshift. You can also see what we're up to by following us on Twitter. We're at NASA Blueshift. That's it for this time. This is Maggie Massetti bringing the universe closer to you with Blueshift.